Thank you for the introduction. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to present to the MRE community today some approaches we try to develop for identification using a finite element model and gradient methods. Suppose it's here. Yep. I won't go very far into the equation. I would prefer, because it's a short presentation, to explain you what's our aim and what's the context of what we try to develop. For that, let me just take a few seconds to explain you what sort of approach, specific approach, we try to develop for MRE at the eCube laboratory, at the University of Strasbourg, and at the ESU, the Institute for Image-Guided Surgery. There are two main topics. The first one concerns interventional MRE with one main objective, is to monitor thermal ablation, for example, IFU ablation using MRE. So try to go to real-time MRE. That's a presentation you will have tomorrow afternoon by Jonathan Vapou, also from the same lab. And also you have a poster from Kisu Kim for any question you may have. The other topic that concerns this presentation is about biomechanical MRE. So the objective is try to have a quantitative, realistic measurement of the soft tissue, of the biomechanical properties of the soft tissue, and try to use MRE in the similar way you can do with a classical rheometer. Try to do real rheometry with the MRI scanner and MRE. So if I go back to the first historical application of MRE, and you know as good as me or better than me, that is still the main application of MRE, is for diagnosis purpose. But now there are other applications that have emerged, for example, interventional MRE, as I evoked just before, but also application for computer-assisted surgery. And here I showed one example of a typical computer-assisted surgery application we have in Strasbourg. It's really specific. We try to have finite element models that can be used for augmented reality and to help the surgeon during surgery to have augmented reality or to have a training prior to the surgery or perioperative surgery. So there is a really simple problematic for this kind of model, and really simple to understand. If you want to have a realistic model, you need to measure realistic properties and complex properties that are adapted to the organ you want to model, as realistic as possible. For this reason, I will interest more specifically on the reconstruction process of MRE. I listened very quickly the different four main approaches, it's non-exhaustive list, that have been developed for MRE, direct inversion, local frequency estimation, fast gradient method. But the one that is the most interesting for me, because I'm interested in quantitative, realistic properties that can be implemented in finite element model, are the identification method. Here you have a non-exhaustive list of what has been developed previously. And it is typically what we would like to use. I think you now well understand my main objectives to provide from MRE measurement data that can be used for computer-assisted surgery. And for the current study, the current development, practically what we do is to try to develop automatic differentiation-based gradient method with dedicated model identified on wave propagation in MRE. So for that, you have to use models that are adapted to what you want to measure and what you want to implement then into your finite element model. So for that, I will process in three steps. The first one is to define a global MRE experimental protocol. And from this protocol, I will show you briefly two main applications, one for reconstruction of mechanical anisotropy using analytical Green's model, Green formalism. And the second one is to make identification of heterogeneous tissue by the use of finite element model. So let me first begin with the MRE experimental protocol that we used here. We have used two different excitation systems to generate cylindrical harmonic shear waves. The first one is the use of a HIFU system to have a focused ultrasound, but used with low power, to generate harmonic shear wave into an organ or a phantom. And the second one is the use of MR compatible, vibrating a needle that we can control to have this generation of harmonic cylindrical shear wave into the first case, into the second case. But anyway, which one you will use, and you apply this in this study in hydrogel phantoms. So first application is for anisotropy. To have the identification of a model, of course, you have to first define the model you want to use. So for anisotropy, we use green formalism with a cylindrical wave, I would say a shear wave, but not really shear wave, a wave definition, description in a viscoelastic tissue, defined in frequency domain and then switch to temporal domain. Not only shear wave, because we're using green formalism, you can have many terms, it's the shortest expression you can have for green formalism, but you have compression wave, you have shear wave, and you have near field terms due to the relation between the shear and the compression wave. But anyway, what is the most interesting is the shear wave for us. And you translate it from the Cartesian coordinate to the cylindrical coordinate. And then you fix the angle into the plane and you fix the depth. So that we will consider only the expression for the displacement along only one axis. Here you have this expression. And the parameters we will try to identify, I have to take care of the word I will use and avoid stiffness now, is the absolute value of the complex shear modulus and the phase angle. So to try to identify, to say quickly, elasticity and viscosity. Here you have briefly the identification process we applied to identify the anisotropy. So on top left, you have the experimental MRE. And from experimental MRE, you will consider, we have 2D plane imaging with a wave propagating cylindrical into your plane. And you will consider direction by direction into the plane the shear wave propagation, the harmonic shear wave propagation you have. So you fix your theta. And you will try to identify your 1D polar green model. You calculate the cost function between the two, it's relatively classical, and after we use automatic differentiation and we differentiate with respect to the parameter of interest, so the complex shear modulus and the phase angle, and after we use an optimizer to identify the mechanical parameters from the experimental data for only one direction of space. And you reproduce exactly the same process for all the direction of the space. Maybe if I show it like that, it will be more clear for you. You consider your experimental data, and you take a look at the data, experimental data, that's the red point, and you identify that the model that is identified, you can see in dashed blue line here. And for each direction, you obtain one value for elasticity and viscosity. You have the map for the elasticity. And by processing direction by direction, you obtain the anisotropic profile of the mechanical properties locally into your tissue. And from that, we are capable to identify not only one value of local stiffness, but the complete transversely isotropic tensor, for example, or any sort of anisotropy you want to identify. Example of application, here you have the example of on a PVA, polyvinyl alcohol, hydrogel, cryogel phantoms, a sort of phantoms we have developed previously in a publication, that we make transverse isotropic, homogeneous transverse isotropic phantom. And when you process with focused ultrasound, you propagate shear wave, and you obtain the profile you can see here, and we obtain a typical transverse isotropic profile as expected with the values that are also expected. We have confirmed using rheometry. And we applied the same ex vivo on a bovine muscle. You have an example of the setup, wave propagation, and when you process direction by direction, you obtain the blue squares here, and the profile that is close to a transverse isotropic one. So that is an example, and then we have begun to do that also in vivo, on in vivo muscle. But here, with green formalism, you can only make an identification of a homogeneous tissue. It's not possible to go further to have heterogeneities, for example. That's a second topic, to make an identification. So now I will forget the analytical model and change the sort of model to identify heterogeneities into the tissue. So for that, that's still the same. I define my forward model for wave propagation. So I need something that has low computational cost. So we have chosen to use a 2D model, only in 2D, but it's not a plate model, it's a thick plate model. So it will take into account the fact that you can have matter, so you can have tissue up and down from the slide you are looking at to avoid to have only guided wave into your plane. So it's a 2D finite element model that uses a first order shear deformation theory. That's what we call moderately thick plate, thick heterogeneous structures. And for the mechanical properties, we use a generalized heterogeneous viscoelastic Hooke's law for the stress strain formulation. And we do exactly the same process as we saw just before, but only to process direction by direction, you process in 2D and you identify your complete map only in doing only once all this process. Still the same, define the cost function, differentiate the statement with respect to the parameter of interest, the one you choose in your model, and after use an optimizer to extract the mechanical maps. As first approach, we did it not in really big data, big with a good resolution. The first approach was to limit the cost to test the possibility with our method. So we tried to go really fast and then to improve it to increase the resolution. So we began with 16 by 16 images in resolution of wave propagation on the experimental images on the gelatin phantom with a big inclusion into, you can see here. We applied also LFE algorithm to have a comparison of the value we will measure with our process. And we also compare to classical rheometry, what is relatively easy when you use a gelatin phantom. That's the main advantage, this sort of phantom. Here you have the different values we obtain for elasticity, for the complex shear modulus, modulus of the complex shear modulus, the amplitude, into the gelatin and into the inclusion you have. So we initialize the problem with 5 kilopascal and 2 kilopascal, and at least we obtain values that are really close. It's the same range that what you can obtain using LFE or using rheometry. We are still under investigation to know how, if to quantify really the improvement by comparison with other algorithms. And here you have the images of the model with this identified parameters implemented in. And you reconstruct and you obtain things that are really similar in 16 by 16 or in non-regraded imaging, and we can reconstruct and we find the parameters that fit really well to obtain the parameters we want. But the main advantage of this method is not only for pure elasticity, is that it's really simple to improve your model and add other specificities into a new model. A finite element model is easy to improve and you only have to differentiate with respect to the parameter you want. So you can differentiate regarding with porosity, anisotropy, or hyperelasticity if you go to nonlinear elasticity, etc. That's the reason of the choice of this method regarding to what is our interest. I remember you, finite element for computer-assisted surgery. So the general limitation, I would say, for our two approach, anyway, if we speak about anisotropy of heterogeneity, is that the source has to be well-known, well-defined, and included into the plane you're looking at. It's limited, the number of MRE protocol to apply this, but it's really important because when you want to make something that is really quantified, you have to control completely how your waves are generated, where they are generated. The specific limitation concern also resolution, as you saw just before, but we are trying to optimize the computation process to gain in resolution, what we have already successful. For this time, it took what I showed you only 96 seconds to make all this process. So we try to improve it and after increase the resolution, improve the resolution. Go from gelatin or PVA phantom to in vivo MRE data, increase the number of regions of interest. So we go step by step, it's preliminary result as you understood. And again, the main advantage is to the possibility not to see only for linear viscoelasticity, but for more complex finite element model with other specificity that are important to some organ like porosity or et cetera that have been evoked in previous presentation. So this preliminary result have first of all shown the feasibility of this approach and the possibility to have data that can be implemented in finite element model for computed assisted surgery. And of course, if you have any question, I'm still there. Thank you.
Anyone really fast?
What about wave reflection?
Hey, that's one of the biggest problem with the use of identification. I'm sure you know that very well. It's also a problem of boundary conditions. Of course, you have to take it into account or not into your medium. So the model you want to identify have to reproduce as closely as possible the boundary conditions. In our model, for example, you've shown there were a big inclusion into the model. It reproduced the reflection of the wave. So it's taken into account what is supposed to be. Is it realistic enough that has to be still investigated? Fully agree. The other problem is the reflection at the boundary of the medium you are looking, and it can be also implemented in the model, but that's always one critical point to define it closely, I would say. Hope it answers to your question.
Yeah.